Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach. Good evening, Gus.
Good evening. How are you doing, Logs?
I'm doing good. I know that you got a great event tonight going on that you're going to be at shortly here. It's Meet Me at the 50. From what I understand, the showing is very strong.
It is. You know what? I think they had right around 100 people last year. Now they're up to 500. And just talking to a couple of people trying to get in the building, they said they got stuck in traffic. So a great event.
Well, congratulations to you and your wife, Michaela. What a wonderful charity. Breast cancer basically is what the money is going towards, right?
In the pink, yep.
And Susie Culber is going to be there as well.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, I'd like to say I had a lot to do with it, but my time has been spent elsewhere. But, no, it really is. A lot of people, coaches' wives, players' wives, people within the organization, so many helping hands. And, you know, like Mick said to me yesterday, she said, "How do you thank everybody?" I said, "I know, I feel the same way many times. So many helping hands."
Is having something like that kind of a, I don't want to say distraction, but a nice maybe a escape from football?
Well, you know what? I think that, you try to help everybody get better. And whether it's your players or you can help somebody in need, an event like this can touch so many people. So I think you got to, always have that perspective.
All right, let's look back a little bit, the Tampa Bay game. First of all, tough game. A lot of times when you play a game, it's hard to kind of look at the pieces that maybe, okay, if we had just done this and then this. Sometimes you have to go back and really look close to find it. And that was one of those games to where, okay, after the game was over, you say, okay, this turnover and that turnover and the punt returns and the inability to stop the run, pretty easy to see.
It is. I think, the week you go through it and, Monday when you watch it, you go, "God, we're doing this different, or why didn't we do that? Or do we make this, if we make this tackle, or don't fumble it here," or, all those things. And then you go through it the next day and you try to say, okay, here's how we got to, act on this and get this done. And then towards the end of the week, like my mind frame now is saying, all right, okay, good. All right, we're on this. Now let's look back and you see the good things. You see the very positive things that are taking place, and you go, you know what? Our team has to recognize, hey, there's also a lot of good things. We need to get back and build on these things. Take care of these things. Act on these things that didn't go well. But come on now. Let's keep our strengths and build on them as well.
That's hard to do, isn't it?
It is. You kind of switch your mindset. You're so competitive, and you're trying to get this thing process to speed up. But you also got to know it's a process. And, I think act, somehow comes into my mind. I know I've used that with the team. It's act. Let's get this, act feels like it's some urgency to it. And I think the team feels
that's
that
a good word.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Until you have a sense of urgency, sometimes it's hard to act.
Right. And I think, sometimes we never, Dave and I talk about this all the time. You don't want to be irrational. You don't want to be reactionary. You don't want to be desperate. You don't want to panic. You don't want to do all those things. That doesn't lead the right direction. But you have to have urgency. You have to act. You have to demand. Those things, that's more, I think, our mindset.
That was something different about your tone, after the game and on Monday, is that you had a tone about you that maybe that's the urgency, or that's the disappointment, or the, hey, look, we're capable of better than that. We're not doing it, and that's not acceptable. But you could sense it.
I think this, Logs, we talk about getting better, right? You've heard me say that almost where you go, okay, or let's be our best. Okay, well, if we're not our best, then there's some urgency, and then there's some tone change. We weren't our best, and that's unacceptable. And our team feels that. They know it. They know the expectation. That's what we're looking to do each and every game. And we're all in control of that. And so I think that was more the message. And our team, it's not like they haven't heard that, but I think it's just the tone sometimes, reemphasizes it.
Well, and on the defensive side of the ball, Doug Martin had a nice game. I mean, he had, 150 yards rushing, or 130-something yards rushing, somewhere in that range. I think it was 130, because I think the other back had like 40-something Sims. And good back, but, you know, it's a defense that's built to stop the run. You'd like to play with safety up. 23 missed tackles, something like that is what you talked about on Monday?
You know, I think what it forced us to do, you know, sometimes you work on it in practice, but really when you look back at the run games, how many of those plays got to the second level? And I think that's where we looked at it and said, and for a variety of reasons, we had some missed tackles up front. And then when it got to the second level, this game more than any other is, you know, even though in training camp and practice you work on it, the actual game reps of tackling in space. I think that our guys are very capable of doing it, but we were a little rusty on it. And give credit to him, too. Now, he's a good back. He's shifty. He made people miss. Some guys used the right technique and came up, and he's a pro, too. So, you know, I think it's a focal point of ours to get back and really challenge ourselves to be better in space.
Well, and a lot of people point to, Jaguars didn't have Paul Posluszny. I mean, it's one guy. I mean, it's one out of 11. I mean, it's – look, I'm not trying to criticize Thurston Armbrister, but, you know, there's the old saying, playing above the X's nose. When you play gap control defense, if the running back runs in a gap and you're not in your gap, a lot of times somebody else who is in their gap, what I always say, plays above the X's and O's and is able to beat that block above and beyond just being in their gap and make the tackle. You didn't see a lot of that.
I agree now with that. Now, yes, Puz, integral part to our defense. He's got the trust of the guys and so on. But, you know, guys have stepped up before. We've had guys that go in there and get opportunities and do very well. So, but I do think you make a good point. The ability to play your gap, get off a block, come back, and, you know, help out or cap off a pile or, you know, whatever you talk in terms of that. But I think that's the part that we need to see even more. And our guys have the capabilities of doing it.
Yeah, they certainly have capabilities up front. The guys up front, you got some big, strong guys. I was kind of expecting to see more above the X's and O's. Flipping to the other side of the ball, Blake Bortles had a very nice game. His highest career quarterback-rated game. And I don't say the amazing thing or the surprising thing, because it's not surprising to me, is that there was still meat left on the plate for him to be able to eat, so to speak.
Well, he needs to get better, right, Lux?
Yeah.
I mean, it's never ending, and that's the challenge. And believe me, he's highly competitive. He wants to be his best, and he sees some things on tape. But, you know, I think I have a tendency to kind of say, well, he needs to be better. But you know what? Let's stop and reflect. He's doing some good things. You know, if you just take the time to look at, the interceptions are down. He's making better decisions. He's playing with poise. He's, you know, it's five games into a new offense. So I see the things that are taking place there. And, you know, that's a challenge for him as well as everybody.
I was looking at his rating last year, 69.5 quarterback rating, 11 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, and at this point an 87.2. So you basically have, you know, about an 18-point improvement in passer rating. His touchdown-to-interception ratio is now 10 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, you know, more than 2-1. That's improvement.
It is. But, you know, and like I said, that's great. Blake has improved. But it's also credit to the receivers are playing better. The offensive line's playing better. The running backs are doing better in protection. You know, so it's really the whole group. And that's what I think I'm at that point now, Logs, after the first couple days. And now I'm looking back and saying, hey, you know, let's reflect on this. This is some good stuff here now. Let's build on this. And let's make sure that continues to grow.
Yeah, and the wide receivers you talk about, the one guy that continues to impress me, and it's not because he catches the ball well and – but it's because he's just so consistent. And that's Allen Hurns. You know, week in and week out, whether he's got, you know, bumps, bruises, whatever, he's reliable. And you can always tell kind of the quality of the player is how often a quarterback looks his direction because he trusts him. And clearly Blake trusts Allen Hurns.
Well, you know, Hurnsy is so competitive. I told you, I don't know if it was here or somewhere else, about the – you know, sometimes you need that veteran presence in that room, a guy that they can kind of look to and know how to practice and be a true pro. Well, we don't have that veteran guy, but we're fortunate. We've got a young guy that is already a pro, and the way he practices and the way he goes in the meeting rooms and takes care of his body. So I feel very fortunate about Allen Hurns' development.
Well, and then Allen Robinson certainly is developing in his second year. You know, looking at his numbers, he's 13th in the National Football League in yards with 402, 21st in receptions with 22. He's got four touchdowns, which I was reading a statistic, and maybe I can get to it at some point today because I highlighted it in my little packet here, and here it is. Well, that's not it. I'll save it for another day. But to me, a young man who is 22 years old, and I'm talking a young 22, maybe a couple months into being 22 years old, 3 years at Penn State, just like the quarterback, comes out early, you know, positive sign for him.
It really is. You know, and I think overall you see certain guys, you know, starting to become more guys that are playing like they're capable of playing because we're seeing it in practice. And now we challenge those guys. And, you know, we've had a game where we scored 31 points. And before that, we were struggling to score some points. So now it's about that grit that we talked about, Logs, you know, where they do it play after play or play to play and game after game. And that's the challenge. And, you know, that's what the offensive side is facing.
And the hard part for fans is, okay, look, we had, you know, tough game against New England, great football team, and then we go to Indianapolis, we face Matt Hasselbeck, we don't get a victory. We face the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we don't get a victory. Does the team even need that validation to be able to feel good about what they're doing? Because you know what? If you keep playing and all of a sudden you're not getting the reward because the wins are the reward in professional football, how hard is it to maintain focus?
Well, I think their focus is this. I think it's they're saying, you know what? We're seeing improvement. We feel it. We see guys getting better. We're just not doing enough. What do we have to do enough, you know, or, you know, to get us over the hump? And that's their focus point, not anything else.
And you talked about after that game that, you know, hopefully this shocks them. Describe that, what you mean by that. When you hope a game like that shocks your team, shocks your coaches to where, look, this we need this to kind of give us a – is that give us a push?
Well, I think, you know, when we talk about improvement and always striving to be our best, along with that mindset is urgency. Always has been. Hey, let's have some urgency, and let's get these things corrected. And I think that part is, you know, that the tone or how I talk to the team is to really go back and say, hey, remember now, urgency is a big part of this, and we have to have some urgency to get these things done.
All right, well, we'll open up some phone lines, 1-800-355-NFL1, or locally, 355-6351, right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show, where this segment is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. The stat that I was trying to find, and I thought I highlighted it, but I guess I didn't because I got it now. Here it is. At 22 years, 48 days old, wide receiver Allen Robinson is the NFL's youngest player to have at least 400 receiving yards and four receiving touchdowns in the season's first five games since 21-year-old Randy Moss in 1998, who had 463 yards and six touchdowns. That's a pretty cool stat.
Yeah, it is. You know, and so pleased for A-Rob. You know how he came in and you know, the first game and then, you know, really adjusted and came back and has put some games stacked on top of each other pretty well.
You know, going back to the Tampa Bay game before we go to the phone lines, at one point in the game's what, 20-7 at the end of the first half, and I remember during the broadcast when you guys were able to take it in and score, I said on the air, boy, I needed that, and this team needed that. And then at the end of that ball game, for I guess you could say most people say game's over. And then Blake Bortles is able to lead the offense down the field, score a touchdown, give yourself an opportunity at an onside kick, which, by the way, I thought Jason Myers did a pretty good job on that onside kick. His first onside kick ever in his career, and the ball bounces up high. You'd like to have it not right. So deep. But the ability to score when you need it at the end of the first half, and then the big difference is with Blake Bortles that I see in your offense, and maybe your team, at the end of the game, you're down by a couple scores, and all of a sudden, you give yourself a chance.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the press conference about this is a resilient team. I don't know if I could have said that before. I mean, here we are down 20-7. We score a touchdown, and then we come out in the second half. right away, go down, score a field goal, and then I believe, and then another touchdown. And then we had that one right there, you know, that one you were talking about at the end. But this team is showing qualities, the resiliency. We made a big push about quickly recovering. You know, if something goes not our way, not to let it drag on for quite a while, you know, to quickly recover and come back. And that's so important for a team that's trying to learn how to find out how to get this done. And so those are the traits that you're seeing that I'm pleased with. And that's, again, one of those strengths that we need to keep going and keep building as a team.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring up Will this evening, who is on Atlantic Boulevard. Good evening, Will.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I just had a question for the coach. We were talking earlier, and, you know, you were saying it is a process to do this kind of stuff. How long as a fan do we, you know, we're all fans, you know, we want to be there for the team, but
sure.
How long of a process do we have to sit by and watch? From the coach's perspective, how do we look at that and say, you know, hey, we're a process, but how long of this process do we have to endure, you know?
Right, I agree.
We love you. But
yeah, no, I know, Will. I get you. That's a great question. You know what, and process is a word. I think every team is going through it. New England has a process, and they continue their process. So I think what you're looking at is, when are we going to start seeing the results we all hope for? And it's a great question. I think that you look at it and you see, hey, are we improving? Are we doing things right as far as being more disciplined? Are we, you know, are you seeing resiliency? Are you seeing them quickly recover? Are you seeing them playing hard? Are you seeing these things? And you're building these traits to where week in and week out you're having success. And those traits are coming. Now, when will it come? I don't know. You know, hopefully this weekend. And but our focus has got to be to make sure to stay on those things, keep those our strengths, and then act on our weaknesses, get those things cleared up, and then we trust that the results will come. And, you know, that's a good question. And I think as these guys develop and you see them coming along, and we just got to make more plays. And, Logs, as you know, this game sometimes is 4 or 5 plays. Well, right now it's 3 plays on offense and 4 plays on defense and 2 plays on special teams and, you know, those things. And that's what the game of the NFL is like. And I think we've got these things building, but we need to make more plays, plain and simple. And not big plays, just make more of the
just
plays
make
we're
more
capable.
Plays.
That's
make
right.
More plays that are there for the take.
That's right.
All right, thank you, Will. Let's go talk to Kyle, who is in Arlington. Good evening, Kyle.
Good evening, and thank you. Thank you, Coach and Jeff. Really just wanted to make a comment. I thought it was an extremely exciting game. I've lived here in Jacksonville and been a fan since they debuted in 95. It was called a cat fight in Canton back then against the Panthers, who it also was an expansion team. But I just wanted to say this. To me, a loss is a loss, and it hurts. But I thought we played good ball. And sincerely, we were never really out of it, and we came back. The question is, and I think, Jeff, you mentioned this, how often, nor should we really be in that situation, do we practice onside kicks? They're doable, you know, and we had time. But isn't that something that on special teams we should maybe practice a little bit more?
Yeah, it's a good. You know, it's hard when you're not out at practice, but each week we take a period of time, and that's all they work on. Surprise onsides, onsides, must onside, you know, and so the kicker gets a chance to do it in practice. And also the return team, they work on onside and handling a ball. So, yeah, you're right. It does get worked on, and it was a good kick. You know, that practice,
yep.
It gave us an opportunity. But, you know, it's something just like all facets, all situational football, you got to work on all during the week.
Yeah, and Kyle, I just want to bring up one thing. I hope I didn't mislead you there when I said it was his first time ever doing it. Well, it wasn't like the first time he's ever done it, ever. It was the first time ever in a game.
Right, in a game.
Which,
situation.
You know, hey, look, games are different now.
That's right. It's a heightened environment.
Yeah, the lights get very bright when it comes to game day. All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll take more of your calls. 1-800-355-NFL1 or locally 355-6351 right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com. All right, let's go to Sam this evening. Good evening, Sam. You're on the Gus Bradley Show.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask the coach and Lodge, if you have an input as well, just how you guys balance criticism of your players with the positive outlook that you have generally taken. And let me preface this with, I'm a believer in what we've been doing, but I do think that there needs to be some hammer you brought down when we're not executing. And so I'm just worrying about how you balance these things, because I wouldn't want you to lose the locker room. You know, obviously the guys believe in you, but how do you balance these things?
Well, I think it's very, I can understand that. It's hard, right, Lux, for a fan. And you played because what's handled in the team meeting room, mm-hmm. what's handled in the position meeting room, and in the locker room, that feel how it's handled there might be different than out in public.
Yeah, the perception and the reality sometimes is different.
And the reality, yeah, that's yeah. right. So, the fans see this, and then in the, how you hold players accountable, inside, it might be different. But I would say this. Here's how we do it. If there is something under their control and they're not doing it, as anybody, all of us, then you should be able to be held accountable to that. And the player can get it fixed. Therefore, he should appreciate you hold him accountable to it. If you're not working hard enough and you can control that and I get after you, you should appreciate that, because you say, I can control that. Now, where you run into problems when you lose locker rooms is when you start challenging players on things they can't control, because they can't fix it. They're so competitive that it just fires them up, because you're challenging them on something they can't control, and that's when dysfunction comes. That's mm-hmm. when guys, start going, it causes anxiety for them. And now you got issues, because there's no way a player can be his best with high anxiety at this level. You can't make fast decisions. You can't operate quickly. And then that's when you have some problems, yeah. I believe.
And is it difficult sometimes to balance personal gratification, even as a coach, for holding players accountable? You know what I mean? As far as, because, a lot of times it feels good to pound the desk. Why can't you do this? As opposed to, okay, he's not doing this, let's talk about why.
Right, and I think, first of all, you try to find out what each player values. And then if they value it, it's easier to hold them accountable because they value it. If they don't value it and you're trying to hold somebody accountable, rarely does it, you and I talked about this. What is accountability? Pounding your fist on the table? Or is it getting the, what did I say to you? Getting the practice or getting the, whatever
something,
they're doing.
Something that somebody holds valuable.
Yeah, but if they're doing something and it's not right, mm-hmm. you're trying to change the process. You're trying to change the behavior.
That's right.
Okay, if a person is doing something, accountability is getting them to change the behavior. That's accountability. I want to hold you accountable so you stop doing that. Okay, well, how are you going to do that? Sometimes pounding the fist is an accountability. Someone might not react to that.
Some might.
If that works for some and you change your behavior, then you pound the table. If it doesn't work for some and you pound the table and they don't respond to it, well, ultimately your job is to change your behavior. So any way you can do that.
Well, the ultimate accountability in the National Football League is, if you're not accountable, eventually you don't have a job.
Right.
Players, coaches, everybody.
That's right.
That's the ultimate accountability.
Right. The objective here is to get the behavior changed. Any way you can do that to get that done, I think we'd all say, hey, I don't care how you do it, just get the behavior changed. That's right. That's accountability.
All right, let's go talk to Rob, who's down in Nocatee. Good evening, Rob.
Hey, Jeff. Coach, so good to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Rob.
I do want to let you know that there are a lot of fans out here. Of course, I'm born and raised in Jacksonville, and we are absolutely stoked about this team. Yes, we want to see some more W's, absolutely. But as fans, we are behind you. I believe in what we're doing. I believe I'm not blowing smoke when I say that I believe this team is actually with a little bit more maturity, that I believe that we would be 4-1 versus 1-4 at this time right now. I think with all my heart, I was at the Carolina game, and I'll be there this Sunday. And I really believe that this team is just a handful of plays of that maturity, like you were speaking of getting them to respond the right way and cleaning up a few plays here and there, and be easily to be 3-2, if not 4-1. So I just want to let you know that we're supporting you, behind you. Go get that win this weekend, and I can't wait to see the team and see us continue to grow what we're doing right now. So enjoy the show, guys.
Hey, Rob, I appreciate that so much. I think you make a lot of good points. And, you know, that's our fans there, Logs. You know, they do a great job. And we mentioned this earlier on a show about, hey, when we're excited, we want our fans to be excited. When we hurt, our fans hurt. And some of our fans are hurting right now. Well, some of the guys in the locker room were hurting, you know. But
I think that's the hardest thing for fans to understand sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they want people, you know, they want the players, the coaches to walk around with a bad look on their face and being angry all the time. And, yeah, that happens. But a lot of times when it's happening, the fans don't see that. So
right.
So I think sometimes it can frustrate them.
Well, the number one thing for a team is they got to have spirit. They've got to have that willingness to go out there and say, we've got to improve this. We've got to get this right, and we've got to do the little things right, and we got to keep going. And that's the spirit part of it, and you have to have that in a team. And that's why I feel so fortunate. This team is off the charts spirit. They want to get it right. And when you have that, there's, you know, that's when they come back. Our team now is back to saying, all right, man, it happened. The players, I believe, bounce back faster than coaches sometimes. You know, Lugs?
Yeah.
They're
younger.
Back. Yeah.
Their memory's a little short.
Right. And, you know, but as once you push it aside, and we each rally off each other's spirit, and it's no different. The team revolves around each other's spirit, and the fan spirit is so important for us.
Is this a challenge for you to maintain your belief in what you are?
Well, I have strong convictions on it now.
And that's important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. I know in my heart. I know because I'm seeing it every day where these guys are doing it. So imagine for us and saying, and the players want it. The players are going about it the right way. And, you know, so we all want it faster. Go on! You know, but hey, just stay the course. Stay the course and trust it. We're seeing improvement. We're seeing guys mature rapidly. And a lot of these things we're seeing happen in front of our faces, coaches, and we're saying, that's good. Look at this. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. But we want it all right now. And I agree. And we act to try to get it all right now. But we understand, stay the course. Stay in the game now. And as long as we do that with that spirit, it will come. It will come. But it does challenge your convictions.
Oh, sure
dialogue.
It does. That's,
you know,
that's part of the deal.
That's right. That's
part
right.
of the deal. After six consecutive non-winning seasons in New York, trust me, I know what it's like. Let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we return, we'll take a few more calls, and we'll talk about the Houston Texans right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. And let's continue to take a few phone calls here. Let's talk to Danny in Callahan. Good evening, Danny.
Hey, guys. I appreciate y'all taking my call tonight.
Danny, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Coach, you know, I just wanted to say we're similar ages. I'm 48. I'm a father of five. Matter of fact, I'm headed to soccer practice right now with two of my younger ones.
There you go.
And, you know, I think we've grown up, we're in a time now where it's all this instant gratification. Everything, you know, they want to see it right now. And I think, Coach, we kind of grew up at a different time. I think you're doing a great job. I think, you know, we see Blake doing things we haven't seen around here in a long time. You know, the receivers are looking good. I mean, you know, everybody wants to point out things that are going wrong, and maybe the wins aren't there yet, but I truly believe they're going to come, and I think that the town and everybody around Mr. Khan, everybody needs to give Coach some time here because I think he's going to do some great things here in this area. And I'm a lifelong Cowboy fan, but over the last 18 years I've been in Jacksonville. The Jags have won me over, and I support the Jags more than I ever do the Cowboys now. I just wanted to tell you, Coach, you're doing a good job, and I hopefully they give you the time you need, and I think you're going to do some great things around here.
Well, I appreciate that, Danny. I don't know if we're doing a great job yet, but we'll take it. You know, I just think, you know, it's like the conversation we had off there. What is it with faith they talk about? You believe it,
yeah,
and then you see it, or do you see it, and then you believe it, mm-hmm, you know? And I think sometimes there's – and fans are probably – you know, there's a percentage of both. Some, a lot of fans, right? They say, I need to see it before I believe it.
Sure.
You know? And then there's some that say, I believe it, and I'll see it. And maybe I'm more, I believe it. I believe. There's no doubt. I believe it, and I know we'll see it. And which one are you again, Lars?
My answer was you. It was a little bit of both.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no,
sometimes I got to see it. So, and you use the proper term with me, calculate it.
Yeah, you're more calculated. That's right.
And not in a devious way, because calculated can be,
you know, I think it's good.
Have a very negative connotation about it. Don't want to give that impression. All right, let's go talk to Andrew this evening. Good evening, Andrew.
Hey, good evening, guys. Coach, hey, there was a great article on the internet today about Blake Bortles completing more deep balls than anyone else in the league. I just want to know a little bit about his development, him and his timing with Hearns and Robinson. Kind of what's happening during the week behind the scenes. We're seeing the product there on Sundays, but kind of want to know what big steps has he been taking year one to year two.
Sure. Well, he does. He's done a good job. And like I said, I think first and foremost, credit goes to, you know, for the success of Blake. It really involves 10 other guys, you know, being on the same page. But his weekly schedule, you know, he comes in and gets treatment and he watches film right away. I would say once it gets to, you know, he does all the prep time on Monday and Tuesday, but he's got long days now. He comes in early in the morning, you know, between 5:45 and 6, and then he goes through the day, watches tape, has meetings, and then after practice, watches film again, and then he'll come in and meet with Greg Olson, and then he meets with our quarterback coach till, you know, 9 o'clock at night, 9:30, and they're watching tape and going through different, you know, processes and different blitzes and, you know, what his checks are and calling out the offense and calling the formation out, and then he just starts the whole thing up again. So I really, really like – I think he's got quite a routine on the field as far as his preparation, but I think where he's grown the most is his off – you know, his classroom preparation. And give credit to Greg Olson and Nathaniel Hackett. Nathaniel puts a lot of time in with Blake and with Chad Henne. And I think, you know, Blake feels more prepared. He told me the other week, you know, Gus, you talk about that freedom where you just go out there and you play. He said, I'm getting closer to that.
But the freedom doesn't happen unless you're aware of the environment.
It is. Well, the freedom comes when you're really prepared.
Exactly.
When you're really prepared, you go out there and you just play. And that's what these guys are learning. You know, hey, trust your preparation. When you go out there and prepare as hard as you can and as much as you can, it allows you to play the best that you can. And so you got to learn that preparation phase.
You know, a lot of concern about his shoulder, the AC separation, which is very painful. Had a couple of them. And I can't imagine it for a quarterback. Grade one, supposedly lower, but he practiced yesterday and today. So, I mean, that's all pointing to good signs for him.
Give credit to Blake and give credit to our scouting staff and Dave Caldwell and the coaches, because that was one of the things that drew us to Blake. We talk about his toughness, you know, his competitiveness. Well, his toughness is that he's big and he's strong and that he can take some hits, and you're going to hopefully have him for some games. And, you know, just like this, his toughness now, he's got this shoulder and he's dealing with it great and it's getting better and he's fine. But that mentality, I mean, in his mind, there was no way he was not going to practice on Wednesday.
Didn't notice any kind of change in his game during the game this past week either,
right,
which is,
right.
Hey, that's impressive.
Right. But,
let me just say one thing. Big and strong doesn't mean tough.
No, but it's for him, it's a positive.
Yeah.
You know, for him, it's a positive. So, you know, I think that's his trait, and that's what drew us to him, as well as his abilities. But, you know, but he still has a ways to go yet.
Is that the biggest adjustment for quarterbacks, is the mental part of the game, that a lot of them just don't understand what it takes to embrace and understand everything?
I think that's part of it. And then I also think that to get to that point where you have that sense of freedom, you know, you can prepare, but then they go into Sunday and they don't trust it. And they still play with high anxiety, or, you know, you can see them panic, or they get nervous in the pocket. And to see him get closer to that stage, or growing towards that stage, at this young stage is always a positive.
Interesting number here as we go to a break. NFL quarterbacks aged 23 or younger since 1960 who had 1,250 yards and 10-plus touchdowns through the first five games. Here's a couple names. Marino did it in 84. Bledsoe did it in 94. Peyton Manning did it in 99. And Stafford did it in 2011. And now the only other one to have done it is Blake Bortles this year with 1,299 pass yards and 10 pass touchdowns.
It's great stat. And you know my philosophy on that, Logs. I mean, I think a lot of people want to compare. And I always tell Blake, we ain't comparing you to anybody. You know, you're your own guy. That's the reason why you're here. And just be your best. And let's see where that goes. And I think sometimes when you get into comparisons as a coach or a player, it can cause some issues. So that's what I love about him now. He doesn't want to be compared to anybody. He just wants to go out there and compete.
That's what you want. All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we return, we'll talk some Houston Texans right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. This week, the Houston Texans roll into town. Similar record, 1-4. Same record at 1-4. And they bring a new quarterback at the starting helm. For the last three games, it's been Ryan Mallett. This week, it's Brian Hoyer. I don't care who's playing quarterback. The one guy that is a threat and a major threat is DeAndre Hopkins, a third-year wide receiver who is tearing the league up.
Yeah, he is. You know, the most targeted receiver in the league. You know, it really shows up on tape, too. But they had a couple of injuries there with Nate Washington and Cecil was out. So that even directed more attention towards him. But, you know, sometimes they say a receiver, it takes a couple of years, you know, 3 years sometimes for them to really kind of get in a groove. And you're starting to see him get into a groove. And you're starting to see some maturity. And I think that, boy, he's got a really high upside. He really jumps out at you on tape.
Got great speed.
He does. Great speed. Becoming more polished as a route runner. And obviously they trust him.
Yeah, and whether it's Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett, doesn't care. But what does Brian Hoyer, in your opinion, give the Texans that maybe they wouldn't get from a Ryan Mallett? Is it experience?
Yeah, I think he plays with some poise, too. You know, he can – he's a type of guy that, you know, can catch fire. Kind of like Kirk Cousins, you know. Not same style, but, you know, sometimes Kirk Cousins will go 19 for 21, and you go, whoa, and he jumps out at you.
And then next game at three picks.
Well, yeah, you know, he might struggle a little bit, but I'm not saying that's Brian Hoyer, but you see him as streaky where, you know, where all of a sudden he'll throw 17 completions in a row.
And, well, you're familiar with him now. Yeah. Was it last year that he came in here and there was talk that he was going to get an extension in Cleveland and he was red hot, so you know him.
Right. And so I think that's what we respect him a great deal because of that. And, you know, you respect every quarterback in the league. If they're playing in the NFL, they all are talented and they all have the ability to, you know, to catch fire.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We come back, we'll talk J.J. Watt and Arian Foster right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Logman and the head coach Gus Bradley. And Gus, Arian Foster had a pretty serious groin injury, has worked his way back, and now he's played two games. But you look at the yards per carry, you watch him on film, and you can tell he's still not the Arian Foster that many Jaguar fans, including myself, that have watched for many years.
Yeah, I think that you're seeing him come back, though. I think, you know, the more I've watched him now, you know, I think as they're trying to bring him back slowly, probably similar like to Sendarik, you know, although a completely different injury, but, you know, he'll just keep getting better and better as soon as he gets a chance to play. And that's with Arian Foster. But I like the way they utilize him, getting him out of the backfield, some angle routes, and, you know, trying to get him one-on-one with the linebacker, and as well as the run plays. I think that you'll start seeing him get more and more carries.
I've always thought that he, as a running back, probably the best running back receiver out of the backfield because he's got great ability to run in open space. He has great hands, and he has great vision.
Yeah, very, very good football player. I mean, just makes very good situational decisions, handles the ball really well, you know, so, you know, very complete.
And watching the film this week, J.J. Watt went against the Indianapolis Colts last Thursday night. I was very surprised. I mean, the Colts did a great job against J.J. Watt. They put two tight ends on them. They'd have a back chip on. They'd have two linemen on them. It seemed like that they had a really good answer for his ability.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy that's so disruptive. You got to know where he's at, although he doesn't move around as much as he did last year. But, you know, I think protection-wise, you got to be sound on them and, you know, have a good overall game plan because he can disrupt the game.
That's the only player in NFL history to have two seasons of 20 or more sacks. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy numbers. All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll talk more Houston Texans right after this on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show here for the last segment and continue to talk about the Houston Texans. And looking at their defense, last year in the National Football League, if I remember right, they led the league in takeaways. What's happened to them?
Well, they still have this, you know, a lot of the same personnel.
Because now they only have two.
Right. You know, but getting pressure on the quarterback, always, you know, disrupting him and getting him to make some bad throws, you know, fumbles. They did. They had some, you know, a lot of games that they won last year where teams were going in the red zone, they were getting ready a chance to score, and they fumbled on the 8-yard line, returned it, 92 yards for a touchdown. And
yeah, I think J.J. Watt had like an 80-yard interception return
at
one point.
Yeah, you know, so you saw multiple of those. And, you know, that's what – it can get you over the hump. That's what we went back and said, a few plays.
Mm-hmm.
Get a couple of those plays, and it can work to your advantage.
I shared a couple numbers with you during the break, and you were like, wow. And this is one that the listeners, I think, will appreciate also. In an NFL player's first five seasons, number of sacks total, Reggie White is number one all time with 81. And remember, he came from the USFL. So it wasn't like he was a true rookie coming in the National Football League.
Right.
Derek Thomas is number two all time in the first five seasons. He had 66. He was my draft class. Great player. The late Derek Thomas. DeMarcus Ware, 64 and a half sacks. Richard Dent had 61 and a half. J.J. has 61, and he's only five games into his fifth season. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, already an unbelievable career, right,
yeah.
Lugs? I mean, you look back at it to have that kind of stat. So, yeah, he's just, like I said, I don't know what better word to use than disruptive. You know, he's tough to deal with in the run. He's tough to deal with in the pass. His quickness, you know, off the line, and he does things that aren't conventional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, if you're getting double-teamed a scoop block or a switch block, he'll come and backdoor it. But he's so fast and so athletic, he can make the plays by doing that. So a little bit tough for the offensive lineman. They got to really study film to get a feel for him.
Well, and for your offensive line, I was concerned yesterday. Jeremy Parnell did not practice. It was a knee on the injury report. He practiced today, but a great challenge for him. But also A.J. Cann, and along the lines of A.J. Cann, I thought he played really well. Last week at Tampa, he got to face an excellent player in Gerald McCoy. There were some other players, the linebackers that Tampa had, the inside guys, very good, and I thought he played well.
He did. You know what? The first game that he played was against Indy and did some things very well and then had some mistakes, but you saw less mistakes. You saw him play with confidence, poise, and toughness, and, you know, he'll continue to grow.
Yeah, and he will also be blocking the big man, Vince Wilfork, and 325 pounds, and we talked about the great challenge for Stefan Wisniewski. Jadeveon Clowney is on the other side, and he hasn't practiced yesterday or today. First overall pick in the draft last year. He's played in nine games in his career. He doesn't have a sack yet. What do you see out of him?
Well, he's disruptive too, so I know his stats aren't showing it, but he's got that same type of quickness. You know, on the perimeter, he'll spike underneath the tackle and can get upfield quick and make a play. He's strong, he's powerful, and he's quick. I think he's getting a feel for the speed of the game a little bit. But you see those traits flash now. And, you know, again, a guy that can be disruptive. So two very good ends.
Yeah, I guess he had a foot injury that he suffered against Indianapolis, has been walking around in the boot. Last year he dealt with a microfracture procedure. For this game overall, what, in your mind, and when you talk to the team, what are the keys to getting victory against the Texans?
Well, I think when you look at offense, it's, again, to continue to build on our strengths. You know, we're making good progress there. It's, you know, but, we, you know, we kind of got the red zone straightened out. But let's not let it drop now. Let's continue to
build
on that.
Doesn't mean you
got
it, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think those all those areas. So continue to grow there. And defensively, tackling better. I think you'll see that. I think our guys, you know, up front, linebackers, I think we've got them, you know, tied together a little bit even more, even with Puz coming back. So just an overall better game of tackling. And we're going to see some passes now, Logs. So we got to go do a great job in the back end.
Yeah, the Texans actually number 4 in the National Football League in passing offense, which is kind of surprising given the quarterback shuffle that's been going on.
Right.
Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
We'll talk to everybody same time, same place next week right here on The Gus Bradley Show.